It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
When I was talking to that gentleman, that Christian gentleman, fine Christian gentleman, who was questioning me about the sinless life and how impossible it is to sin if you've been truly saved. Anything short of that is an excuse for going on being the way you are. It's called hypocrisy. That is what causes people on the left to run away from the very religion that could have saved them. In other words, just because you accept Jesus and as redeemed from the awful life to follow. I can't remember that the words they use. No, salvation is from ever sinning again. In other words, you are obedient to all the things through which you must suffer to prove yourself. The temptation is the proof, your resistance, your holding your ground because of your appreciation of your salvation. Because you're beholden to it, and because there is no more choice when you're saved from the choice that the first man we inherit from the first human being, the first failing human being. We inherit the proclivity to be subject to authority. And authority, worldly authority, is the problem. But there are good worldly authorities and bad ones, but there are very few good ones who really understand the way. They've killed the prophets, those who could teach you. Along the way, the totalitarian dictators see to that, that anyone who even hints of standing up for what's right, hints of awakening people. See, but the true way has been lost. The salt in Christianity has lost its flavor. So when I say that it's the soul itself that is, when unified, when it believes, and believes out of its disbelief. Remember, Adam disbelieved. He doubted what was right and believed into wrong and then ate of the fruit. And there's a psychological, physiological change that occurs, and it's a transference of allegiance to the seductress. And the spirit of that owned them both. And that has been coming down from generation to generation. All the suffering is from that. And of course, every now and then, somebody survives it. I'm one of them. And I understand the scriptures. I understand that it's the soul that is saved from the body and is now subject to heavenly thought, and which is not describable any more than you can really understand the instinct of a spider or a sparrow. It just makes it what it is, and the sparrow or the spider doesn't understand what makes it do it. It's programmed into it. Therefore, your new master and the programming, which is your future, the unfoldment of who you shall be, will because of this relationship, the spiritual relationship, detached from the body and unified to the Creator, opposite to what happened to Adam, who was separated. We now have this union, but now the union is tested. In other words, you have command over your thoughts and feelings and reactions where you had authority over those where you never had them before. Now, isn't that simple? And there's the proof of that. There's a proof of power at work, which is startling. Because a spider or a sparrow or whatever it is has never have lost its spiderness or sparrowness or tigeress or whatever it is as. It's never lost it. It's amoral. We have come into the world with that something missing, which must be found. And the suffering is what drives us to find higher ground, whatever it is. But priestcraft, psychiatry, experts, education stands in the way. Since time immemorial, it says that knowledge opens new worlds, and many of it does. And we're persuaded or forced for our own good, of course, to learn everything because knowledge is supposed to liberate the mind. But that concept is appealing just as it was in the Garden of Eden, for it's almost perfectly true, but not quite. because only the truth, the spiritual truthness of this, what I'm saying, the relationship with believing in our intuition again, can set you free, pridefully acquired, whether it's religious knowledge or practical knowledge, merely liberates the soul from understanding and is the cause of pride. That's why universities are easily converts to wickedness and liberalism. Watch out for the intellectual. I'm Roy Masters.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
You're listening to an encore presentation.
My name is Roy Masters, and I'm here to help you with your problems. I just want to give you a little key, and that is resentment is not a defense, and it is not a successful offense. Resentment towards your adversary empowers them and weakens you. Resentment towards me will frustrate you because your will pitched against mine cannot penetrate. And because it cannot penetrate, it cannot feed on my failure because I won't fail for you. It's easy not to be resentful when I know that's all I have to do to defeat you, frustrate your desire to live through me as something lives through you since time immemorial. Okay, now we're going to take our calls. So just bear that in mind. Resentment, whether you resent me for not resenting you back, you resent me for telling you the truth, which you may do. Pride is very prideful and doesn't like to admit it's wrong and gets very, very offended for me speaking up this way, which is my right and is your wrong. But be warned, that resentment isn't induced by me or purposely set in motion to control you, but I will control you. Warning. I will control you in a way that you will least suspect. I won't tell you how. I will. But it won't be me that controls you. It will be the spirit operating through me, attacking the spirit inside you that will make you bitter and not better. See? And I don't want to tell you any more than that. I have my secrets. You'll be best off to turn the radio off if you don't like me. Turn the radio off now before I hurt you. I don't mean to. All right, now we take our calls. Joe in Virginia. Hello, Joe. What can I do for you, my friend?
Yes, I called up because how to forgive while you're being intimidated.
Ah, that's the key, isn't it? Hey, that's the whole secret of life.
It's something about my relationship, but I don't have a relationship anymore. That this guy with my wife, when they were here with my kid, doesn't show up. And then they suddenly left another state. Then now he answers the phone. And then I got my
shit. I'm a little bit lost in what you're saying. You're giving me a story. And
Now when I call my daughter.
Are you divorced?
No, not yet. She just went with this guy. And then...
Why do you think she went with this guy?
Oh, because I got an attitude problem.
You got an attitude problem?
Yeah, something like that.
Now, do you think that's... Now, are you angry with your wife?
No, it's just that...
Aren't you driving her away? If you have an attitude problem, aren't
now
you driving...
Now I realize things when I listen to you so much on the women, the dogs.
What, yeah, but what can I say to you about the mess you are making with your life? If you will freely admit that you have an attitude problem, which is difficult for a woman to live with. After all, she's a woman. And a woman needs a man to protect and to love her and to cherish her.
Yeah.
And if you have but if you use her or abuse her or you are resentful towards her in any way, shape, or form.
No, it's not like that. It's just when it's not like every day. It's not like that.
No, it doesn't. No, I'm saying it must not be any day.
Yeah, I know.
As a man, listen, I'm talking about noble men. There must not be any day that finds you wanting.
And I wasn't aware of that until I, you know, listened to you and things just...
All you have to do is need to, if you can change your attitude and realize that you need to be patient with women can be naughty and difficult. I know that.
But she's lost already. She's with this person. And the thing is, I just wanted to...
How many children?
How do I deal with this guy when I, you know, visit my kid?
Well, let me put it this way. This guy comes to your house?
No. Now he's kind of being in front right now. Before he...
No. This guy comes to your house?
No, he doesn't come. She brought. She brought him here.
Yeah, and what did you do? You just stood there and said...
Nothing.
Yeah. You wouldn't know... I won't tell you what I would have done. I won't tell you. Mm-hmm. What I. But you can just use your imagination. I got to go now. I got to... No. You're just not a man yet.
Okay.
You see, you're just floundering.
No, but what happened today was I gave this guy my attitude when I called up. That's what I...
No, how about your fist?
No, I didn't do that.
How about taking him by the neck and throwing him out of the house? Or calling the police? You to say, leave.
Yeah.
If he doesn't leave, then you have right to use force. And force you should have used in your house.
Mm-hmm.
You're a small animal. Has, I think they call it territorial imperative. A small animal on its own territory has much more power than a bigger one invading that territory. There's something about the territory that gives the ownership of that territory that gives that little animal much more power than the big one that tries to take it away. But when you're standing on holy ground, there is no man that's any match for you. I don't care how big... You know how old I am?
Yeah.
You don't want to try to mess with me. or my wife or my children am I. You don't want to try.
But now and I'm afraid it's a bad person now to my kid and my wife.
I know, but you didn't handle it well. Because when it's happened to me in the past, when such a thing, not exactly like that, when such a thing has happened to me in the past... And I take on a whole gang. No, I'm not portrayed as a bad person. I'm a hero in the eyes of my children because I've shown things they have never forgotten.
That's why, Roy, showing him or showing my good and they're agreeing to what they're doing is
no,
the thing that they're telling me.
I see you're not mature enough to hear an answer yet, my dear friend.
Yeah, I'm listening, Roy.
You know, you're beginning to. You're just beginning. So I'm not criticizing you. You go to the website and download that CD. Give this gentleman.
I have a computer, but I don't have internet.
All right. Well, let me. I'm going to tell my producer, David. Would you please give this gentleman the usual two books and the CD, and send it to him right away. And then you will call me in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Roy.
You're very welcome. You need some strength. You need to know your rights and stand for them. And I'm saying that about Americans. We need to throw some people out of our country. And we need to throw some judges out of office. But we're too cowardly to do it. We'll be right back with another caller. But ladies and gentlemen, before I take my next call, we are having a seminar coming up. Now look, I am focusing several days on overweight. You know, I notice that many people that do come do have overweight, but they think nothing of that. But, of course, there is underlying reasons for this, and they're always the same. Different circumstances, but we have to deal with the underlying reasons for overweight, because if a person's on drugs, you're no different from a person who's a compulsive stamp collector or a person who's addicted to gambling and the one-eyed bandits. You're no different. You're an addict and you're a slave of food. And it doesn't look well on you. It doesn't look well on your children. There's something very sensuous and unclean about a fat person. No? Of course, you may have fat friends and therefore fat is beautiful. No, there's something unclean and not beautiful and not wholesome. It doesn't shine. There's something clean and beautiful about someone who is in control and not sensuous. There's something sensuous about lard. See? Something that looks outwardly to men, to doctors, to psychiatrists, to others, for support. There's something wrong with that. Very wrong with it. It's very acceptable in our society, but it's epidemic proportions. All right, well, there's something cowardly about being fat. And there is. Yeah, you may be compensating for, you know, you become a big tank. You use fat as a protection so that you loom over other people. That sort of thing. But it's not healthy. We're going to deal with those things in our seminar so that you'll know, you'll come home with control over your mind and body and soul and become a different person to your family. You ought to be ashamed of being fat towards your children. See? It's a shame. You're addicted. You're a sensuous person. And you will lose your sensibility sooner or later, and your health. And your soul. It's called gluttony. And let's give it the right name. And don't get offended, please. I won't help you. You get fatter. All right. You cannot resist me with resentment. You can just feel the pain, and that'll be good for you. If you can listen to what I just said without being angry, you're halfway there. All right, now we're going to go. Who's next, please? The red marker moved over? It hasn't moved over in my computer. So thank you very much. We're broken again. Okay. Tim in Hawaii. Hello, Tim. What can I do for you?
Hello, Mr. Masters.
Hello, sir. What can I do for you?
I have a recurring problem that's been around since I was a kid.
Yes.
With rage.
Well, that's easy to fix. That's the first thing that has to go. That's number one. That's the first thing to go. If you can't fix that, nothing can be fixed. But you have to, do you know what you're angry about? Because, you know, anger begets anger. The more you lose it, the more you will lose it. The easier it is to lose. And the more sensitive you are to things that will arouse your anger. Until you're angry at everything.
Well, I was angry when I was younger because I was in a fairly violent household.
Of course, I understand that.
And I developed the ability to go from outwardly calm to extremely angry in an instant.
Yes.
And I cultivated it as a survival technique. And now
it's backfiring on
life.
Yeah, it backfires on you. So in other words, you are a slave of resentment. Is that right?
Okay. Sounds right.
In other words, you're a slave of the intimidator. Or you use resentment to hurt others before they hurt you. Which isn't very social. It's not going to give you any social points.
No.
You see what I mean? So your life goes down the drain, and that gives you more reason for resentment, because deals don't go through, relationships don't work, and so on and so forth. No, but if you will, please, go to my website, or I could send you a copy of the CD. Would you like that?
I can go to your website. I have internet, yes.
Oh, good. Well, then you do that. And
yes,
you could never mind anything else that's on there. If you just take that one CD or download it so you can take it with you in your CD player, MP3, and just listen to the first 25 minutes. Any way you can, sit under a tree, go into the bathroom and sit on your Thunder mug. I don't care where you go. And just sit quietly and follow the bouncing ball so that you eventually stand back from thought. Because only in that place where God is will you receive the energy to overcome hatred. See? And be filled with forgiveness. And once you get that, it grow the ability to ignore to overlook the foolishness of people, because you know they know not what they do. You forgive them, for they have a past like yours, and they are doing unto you what was done unto them, and they cannot stop themselves any more than you can stop yourself. And once you have been redeemed from that, you understand them in a whole new light, and you don't hold it against them.
Yes, sir.
You okay?
Thank you very much.
You're a good Christian man, aren't you? You mean to be, but I will show you the missing link. That's all I'm going to do, is give you the missing link to the reality of it.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, now we're going to go to, ladies and gentlemen, you can order the foundation, order books from the foundation or the CD, and whatever you can afford. Fair enough. Now we're going to go to, you have to give me the next one. Sylvia in California. On what line is that? Line four. Sylvia. Hello, Sylvia. I see you up there.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. Fine, thank you.
Good. I have a question for you. Back in March, middle of March, my husband, I caught him. He was talking to another woman. He said it was just talking.
Well, maybe it was. Was it?
Well, that's what I thought then. He said he was going to stop talking to her. That was it. But I just found out on Friday that they weren't just talking. Then they continued talking, and they had sex.
Are you for sure? Are you sure?
He told me they did.
Okay. Have you children?
I have three boys. My youngest is a 4-month old.
Okay. Now, one must be very careful here. All right?
I don't know what to do.
There's not much you can do. You can wring your hands and cry and beg. That won't be any good, because you try to upset him by crying, and you would try to manipulate him by, being angry, and reject him, hoping that he will, not feel rejected and want to come back. No, the thing to do is stay calm.
Okay.
Is there any part that you may have played in this? Have you been too nice to him? Have you tried to make him too happy?
I've been very nice to him. I feel like I've done everything in the house and not left him any responsibilities.
But that's not healthy.
No, you've
mothered him.
Okay.
I know, but you've mothered him.
Okay.
That's not healthy. Okay. Women tend to be maternal towards men and diminish their manhood. And they like it in the beginning, but then they resent it. They get addicted to it and then resent you for it in the end. And the only way they can get away from that manipulation, that compulsion to love you in exchange for all the good things you do, to worship you, is to transfer their loyalty to another woman. You may have been part of that. You should never rob a man of responsibility by doing too much for him.
Okay, I do all the housework and everything. And,
well, you're supposed to do that. If you're the stay-at-home mother, I understand. You have your job to do, and he has his job to do, but you can't take over his responsibility. He's got to have something, a line where it's drawn, where he does what he does and you do what you do.
Okay. But now he's out of the house, and he wants to come back.
Let him come back. But I'll tell you this. When he comes back, you cannot have sex with him.
No.
You don't know what he's bringing home.
Exactly.
That's number one. Two, you are partaking of his sin because he's not sorry yet. But you, this is how you must handle it. You must handle it with grace. In other words, you must not hide your anger. There must be no anger. But you must not show... you must not overdo your displeasure. Good morning. If his name is John, let's assume his name is... Good morning, John. It's nice to see you home. And what would you like for breakfast? And then with a good heart, you do it. And then at a certain point, you might say, you know, I see my part in this. At a certain point, it will come out maybe tomorrow, the next day, next week, because he'll be surprised you don't hate him. He'll be very, very surprised, maybe delighted and ashamed, and with a good kind of shame. Don't try to make him ashamed. Just have no hate towards him. Have no hate towards him. No insecurity. No desire to try to win his affection back from the other woman. Be independent and free. And free him from the obligation to come home again. Free him to the obligation to come home. The obligation will be there, but it can't be induced by you, by gamesmanship. Do you think you could do that?
I don't know if I can. I feel like I need to file for divorce. And
No, you don't want to do that. No, you don't want to do that.
But it hurts so bad.
No, it hates you. You hates so bad. It hurts because you hates.
Yeah,
no, listen.
I do.
Yeah, I know, but hates is hoits is hates. And you cannot like him. May not like him, but you don't have to hate him. See?
So you think that we can actually move on from here and be together?
I tell you, the possibility can exist where this can be a healing. This could be in the end a good thing.
But how do I know that it's not going to happen again if it happened in March?
I know. I understand. But look, this has happened once. You were part of it. I'm telling you, you're too nice to him. You're insecure. You try to hold on to him by doing too much for him.
Well, I work. I don't stay home.
Just a minute. That's not healthy. That's even doing much too much for him. You should be a stay-home mom with four kids.
Three kids.
Okay. You should be a stay-home. The joy should be staying home with your children. You're doing much too much. I mean, does he demand that you go to work?
Does he what? I'm sorry?
Does he demand that you go to work as well?
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. You should have refused. You say, I married you to be a mother, not to help you buy toys. No, I'm sorry. You've made some very serious mistakes. You're pleasing him too much. You're doing too much for him. You're taking the responsibility of earning a living as a man, not a woman's. Your responsibility is bringing up children and not leaving them to those chicken hawks. Young lady, you've done too much for this man.
Well, I don't know how to fix it besides, I mean, I know you said bring him
you
back.
You just tell him that you've done too much for him and... You've tried to hold on to him and try to please him too much, but you've stepped over into his world, and now you have to step back and be a mother, and you would appreciate him to be a father, and you've forgiven him for what he's done, and really forgive him, and he'd be quite puzzled by that. And if he is not appreciative of it, then you've lost what you should never have had. It'll work out, you'll see. You will have lost the man you shouldn't have married. But there might be something nice in him if you don't hate him. But make sure you don't go to work. You stay at home, mom. And make sure he brings home the bacon and does what he's supposed to do. It'll make a man out of him. You're spoiling him rotten.
Hi, this is David Masters. If you're one of the many thousands of people who enjoy listening to Roy Masters' Sunday Conversations at FHU.com, here is an important message to consider. Right now, you can watch How to Save the American Family. These are highlights from the 4th of July seminar recently at Tall Timber Ranch. If you enjoy watching the Sunday Conversation, please make a donation to cover the costs. Statistics show us that many people watch and almost no one contributes. So you have to change that dynamic as soon as possible, or the Sunday Conversations will become a pay-per-view item. Again, highlights from the 4th of July seminar with Roy Masters at FHU.com. The Sunday Conversation for this Sunday is How to Save the American Family, but you have to support Roy Masters' work by making a donation. So go to FHU.com, and there you'll see drop-down boxes with different donation amounts. If enough people make a donation, this will remain a free service at FHU.com.
Quote, the exercise described in Coping Strategy CD, 300,000 used by the military and Be Still and Know for civilians by Roy Masters, proved highly effective treatment for the entire spectrum of psychiatric disorders. George Hayter, MD, Chief of Psychiatry and Neurology, Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy, retired. Quote, I didn't give a damn whether I could prove it worked medically because I know it works. Besides, it's so much better than what the soldiers are getting now, which is nothing. Major General George R. Harris, U.S. Army, retired. Quote, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army, Southern Baptist Chaplain. The Be Still and Know calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. So go to Google and search for Roy Masters' books, How Your Mind Will Make You Well, and Be Still and Know, and listen also to Advice Line Radio on Ustream.tv. Thank you.
Hi, this is David Masters with a thought for you about being a caller to Advice Line. I remember once I was listening to the radio, and I wanted to make a comment, so I decided to call the show. Now, it wasn't easy, because it's different when you're on the other side of the microphone. When you're on the phone, it takes some courage. I remember feeling a little bit nervous when I called this particular show. I finally got through, and then the call screener hung up on me because they didn't like my point of view, not on Advice Line. If you call this show, if you have a question, most importantly, but whether you agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. You get a chance to get through and have your say or get something answered that could be very important and change your life. So don't waste this opportunity. Call 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883. Be a caller. Participate. Have the courage to have your questions answered. Have the courage to agree or disagree. One way or another, don't waste this opportunity, because someone else's life could change as a result of your call. You ever think about that? How your life and the future of your existence could be changed because somebody else ends up hearing something important that you had to say? Call 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883. I know my dad would love to hear from you, and he really thrives on the most difficult questions, so come up with a good one. For the rest of you who are interested, find out more by going to FHU.com. That's the Foundation of Human Understanding, FHU.com. Or writing to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. But really, because it's a talk show, it's not just one person talking. It should be two, and sometimes even three. So again, you're invited to call. Be a part of it. Be a participant. Don't waste the opportunity to have your questions answered. Call 1-800-866-8883 and join Roy Masters on Advice Line.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Hey, Steve in Kentucky. Got the usual problem with lust, all right? What can we do for you?
Thanks for taking my call, Roy.
My pleasure.
I just have a hard time giving up women. I mean, I'm just addicted to it, and I can't seem to get over that hump of just giving it up, even if it's not really sex that I'm thinking about, even if it's just a girl, you know, kind of comforting me and, you know,
mothering you.
Yeah, sort of someone that I can see myself having a future with. But there's also the sexual impulse.
Yeah, but you can't have a future. You can't have a future as a needy little weenie.
Yeah.
Pardon the way I said that. But, no, you know, what a woman. You know the story of Superman? Did you see Superman Returns?
Yes.
Okay. Lois Lane?
Lois Lane, yeah.
Yeah. And she loves Superman. What she loves about him is but the fact that she can't have him. And every woman will love the man she can't own. Now, I didn't say you can't reproduce with her, but if you are a weak person, it translates into a sort of a death that represents an awakening of a sexual impulse. If I may put it rather bluntly, human beings are supposed to be deathless. And so that our sexuality is the extension of our dying. See, human beings should live forever. Basically, there's an eternal life. And so the sexual impulse is the, well, how can I say it? There's so many different ways I could say this is very awkward. It's unnaturally natural. I can give you another example of what is unnaturally natural. Eating too much. Isn't eating too much so you get fatter and fatter and a perversion of natural eating?
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that come from? It comes from a sin. A fat woman is a sinner, and a fat man is a sinner, meaning he's empty. He is substituting a certain pleasure, an emptiness represented by food, which is the nearest physical equivalent to what is lost in a relationship with God. And in with that food comes a wrong spirit that makes him live longer, and therefore he's hungry again. And the more hungry he is, the more satisfied he is, the more dissatisfied he gets. But it's the same with drink. There's a natural reason to drink, but then you can have an unnatural reason to drink more and more and more. You can have a glass of wine with your dinner, but if you keep going after the flavor, you're running away from yourself. See? And so the sex, especially with a man, is a very strong force, because what you're doing is really replacing your dying self. And the dying self is the ego that's dying. And the truth of the matter is, the more you use sex to fulfill the emptiness that should be, how can I find the words for it? But the pride of man, it doesn't understand the nature of completion. Just like the addict doesn't understand that the sin nature in him is what is being completed to that which has corrupted him. And so, do you understand that? So therefore, the nature of a man who's corrupted by a dope pusher has a spirit in him that is compatible with that which has recreated him in the image of the corrupter. So therefore the sinner, the drug addict, is drawn back to the scene of the crime for the fulfillment, for the completion of his rotten self. And the more he completes his rotten self, he becomes more of what is more rotten, but more in conflict with what is good. And therefore, to run from what is good and fulfill his rotten self, he delves deeper into the drug, and the spirit of the drug pusher rises to the occasion and meets that need, and it will eventually kill him. The relationship of a man with a woman and sex is the same thing. He's reproducing his dying self and being glorified in it. And so that's what the drug pusher addict is doing. He's reproducing. He is fulfilling his wicked self. his sinful self, who wants to be free from good and be complete, but he's got to complete that soul to something. A man who isn't complete to God is a corrupted man who then has to be complete himself to a woman, who further corrupts him by loving him.
How do I complete myself to God? How do I perfect myself in that manner?
You did understand what I just said, didn't you? Because if you don't do that, the more sex you get, the more you want, until you become obsessed by it, and it will kill you.
I understand that, but how do I step away from it? And
it is written in the words, "Be still and know that I am God, and nobody else is." What you've done is what you're doing is making your woman God, and you are giving power to give you the sexual feeling. She'll make that you'll find a woman who will make your weakness for her honor, so that she will feel loving and honored by your weakness, and she will nurture your weakness, and that weakness will grow to become a greater weakness and a greater fulfillment, and it becomes then an addiction and a conflict between what you are and what you're becoming, what you could be as a whole person. So there lies the sticky wicket. How are you going to be still to let your conscience catch up with you to modify your behavior as a gentleman, so that you are not obsessed by a hunger that can never be satisfied, not by sex, nor with drink or drugs thrown in, because that's what happened. Sex, drink, drugs, and violence. Why do you think sex and violence are connected? Invariably, we connect sex and violence. It's because when you use sex as fulfillment and as completion, you become a complete animal, a complete ego animal in conflict with God. You become less and less of a human being and much more contemptuous in the eyes of women. See? And so what you've got to find this missing something. You've got to find this missing noble character. See, because men are not like animals. Animals have one origin. They are born from a mother. They go and then they go grow to maturity. They go back to the female, to the place where they are conceived. Mankind have two origins. One they descended from, and one they came from. One that man fell from, and one he can come back to, or, you know, after he comes back from a lineage of falling men, failing men. But what you need is to find that quality that Adam lost. You need to be completed there, and the only way you can do that is step outside your thought process to dare to take a look at what you've become, to see your unmanliness and your weakness, and to see your love of women as a weakness and a fault and a disgrace. Because the sexuality for a woman is, when a man is hungry and lustful, is not respectful to her. She feels dirty and degraded by it. Or if she's a hussy and a Jezebel, she'll enjoy degrading you. And she will finish you off and make your life a misery. I'm right about that.
I'm sure you are.
But now, if you go to my website,
I've been meditating for probably about a year now. I've been able to give up a lot of addictions.
Good. Well, then you are growing. You're growing.
Yeah, I'm growing, but actually, I went for a long time without any sort of lusting towards women,
but
it seems like I hit a speed bump, and then once I hit that speed bump, it's...
You go back, and it's worse than it was before.
Yeah.
You see, you can't allow for that. You must leave the ladies alone and be... How old are you?
28.
Then you need to get a life, and a life of some... You know, I love science, so I'm... spend my days writing and working and building a machine that will get to energy from gravity. And I know that sounds impossible, but that's my avocation. But my vocation is writing, is learning how the mind works and help saving people from a life worse than death. But now that I've achieved a proper understanding of it. I have my mind is open to the science of things, and I see things what's wrong with science in the same way I see what's wrong with people. And I'm able to write on it. And I'm doing rather well. And I'm loving every moment of it. I'm like a kid with toys. You must become like a little kid with a toy, that something you love to do, and do it so well that you become successful, and you're able to enlarge on it and invent and be creative with it. And one of these days, a woman will catch sight of you, and a lot of women will want you, but you are a gentleman with them, and when they find that you're a gentleman with you, they can't use you and control you, they'll call you all kinds of names and reject you. Well, you don't feel rejected, but one of these days, a woman watching you from a distance, seeing that you are not a womanizer, will have respect for you, and then you'll find that woman. And that woman is the one you will rightfully deserve. But if you are selfish and use women for your own gratification and for your own idea of being a complete and more important and fulfilled person selfishly, an animal, then you deserve any one of those who are free for the taking. See, so it's up to you.
Would it have anything to do with, I've also kind of noticed that I'm somewhat of a coward. Like if I'm just talking to somebody and I'm staring them in the eyes, I just feel like an uncomfortable.
Well, the reason is because every sin or every weakness indulged takes you away from virtue. So see, those who hath fear is not made perfect in love. The more perfectly you separate from the things that seduce you and weaken you, the more strength of love will you have. See, you're ashamed, you're embarrassed, and if somebody looks in your eye, you feel your own shame and weakness because you've indulged yourself too much. You've weakened yourself. You've demoralized yourself. Young man, I hope that's been helpful.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. No. You're very welcome. All right. Give this gentleman a CD if he needs it. You know, ask him the usual questions. Thank you.
You're listening to an encore presentation.
Hi, this is David Masters. I know many people who listen to my dad on the radio do not yet own a personal computer, so I want you to remember this message. You can call toll-free Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. West Coast time. The number is 1-800-877-3227 with your questions regarding the radio program and how your mind will make you well and the Be Still and Know exercise. The number is 1-800-877-3227. Here you will find people who are really interested to help answer the questions you have and guide you to the right materials offered by the Foundation of Human Understanding for your situation. But more than anything, if you don't have a personal computer, call 1-800-877-3227 and order the Be Still and Know and How Your Mind Will Make You Well book combination. Be Still and Know is a simple awareness exercise for overcoming stress and illness. It's so simple. If you would learn the secret of how to control your responses to external stress, you would find that God-given switch in your mind which would allow you to energize and motivate yourself, and you would never again feel helpless. If you're willing to be shown, you can become the person you were meant to be. So allow the ladies at the Foundation of Human Understanding to help you understand the process. Just call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday Pacific Coast Time. The How Your Mind Will Make You Well and Be Still and Know exercise will give you the control over yourself without unbearable suppression. It's not only vital to your health, but to your future happiness and to your life itself. Call 1-800-877-3227 and order the Be Still and Know How Your Mind Will Make You Well CD and book package. You can call toll-free Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. West Coast time. That's 1-800-877-3227 And now, let's return to Roy Masters on Advice Line. Hi, this is David Masters. If you're one of the many thousands of people who enjoy listening to Roy Masters' Sunday Conversations at FHU.com, here's an important message to consider. Right now, you can watch How to Save the American Family. These are highlights from the 4th of July seminar recently at Tall Timber Ranch. If you enjoy watching the Sunday Conversation, please make a donation to cover the costs. Statistics show us that many people watch and almost no one contributes. So you have to change that dynamic as soon as possible, or the Sunday Conversations will become a pay-per-view item. Again, highlights from the 4th of July seminar with Roy Masters at FHU.com. The Sunday Conversation for this Sunday is How to Save the American Family, but you have to support Roy Masters' work by making a donation. So go to FHU.com, and there you'll see drop-down boxes with different donation amounts. If enough people make a donation, this will remain a free service at FHU.com.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Right, we're going to go to Perry in Ohio. Hello, Perry.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I was calling you because I've been struggling with, my parents are really, I don't even know what word to use, but I can say on my part, I guess I want parents really bad, even though I'm an adult.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
You need a father more than anything, don't you?
I don't have a father, though.
But the father is what you need.
Yeah, both would be nice, but...
What's wrong with the pair that you got?
It's just a really strange relationship.
Are they just empty and nothing?
They're more involved. Like, I'm the only girl. They're more involved with my brothers.
Yes.
They don't really act like I'm there. In fact, I've started to wonder over the past few years.
May I suggest something?
Yeah.
Why don't you get a life and forget them? And please, God, settle down with a nice young man and become a good parent, the kind of parent that you'd like your parents to be to you. Why not do that? Instead of moaning, and you're not going to change them. You can't get blood out of a turnip. If they haven't got love for you, they just haven't got it. You can't give it. You can't make them. You can't earn it. You can't do anything about it. So, you know, family is not always kin.
Yeah,
right?
I understand that.
Even Jesus said, you know, I haven't come to bring peace, but division. I've come to bring a sword. You know, husband against wife, and you know, father-in-law against daughter-in-law, and that sort of stuff. Family is not necessarily kin. Get it? I left a whole family behind, my whole family in England. I could care less where they lived or died. They weren't family, they just were empty, rich, empty people.
I guess and I feel like I wish I had elders that I could go to.
How about me? Will I do?
Yeah, but it's like I don't want to bother you every time you're on the air.
No, you don't have to bother me, but you could listen, enjoy the conversations. And learn that there are other people like you out there. I mean, I don't have mother and father. They died. They died when I was young. So, what do you think? I'm going to let that bother me? I go on with my life. I miss my dad. Okay. He wouldn't want me to, if he loved me, to hang on to him in the grave. I build my own family. I build my own life. Build your own family.
Okay.
You know, get beyond it. Stop longing for what you can't have.
Yeah.
You know, find peace of mind. Let him go. And understand you have a God within you. I remember, and this is, I've said this many times, but I will say it again. My father died. I was 13. And it was painful. And sometimes I'd find myself going up to a guy in the street because he walked like my dad, and from the back it seemed like it was him. And you know the silly little false hopes that kids would have. And I tugged on the sleeve, and it wasn't him, you know. And then I realized something said to me, well, your father didn't die. So I said to myself, what does that mean? It was almost like saying, God was saying to me, I'm your father. I'm the spirit of your dad. Don't you see? Your dad is not flesh and blood. He just represents me. He's meant to bring you to me. So your father failed to bring you to him. And that's why you miss your family, but you miss God. And that's all you're missing. Well, let me present him to you. He's within you. You can be fulfilled. Just be still and experience him, and you'll be a whole person. And I will be able to help you to do what your father failed to do, to be still and to have the same, believe what I'm saying. If you just believe what I'm saying, the very fact that you can appreciate what I'm saying, that will produce a joy in you that will take away your hunger for what other people can't give you. I can't give it to you, but I can reveal to you that what is in me is also in you. Accept it and go on with your life. You're a whole person now. Okay?
Thank you.
Don't pine for it. It won't come. It just make you a bitter, morbid person. Not marriable. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Be good. You're very welcome. Well, here we are again. The 2 hours have gone past. I was a little tired this evening. I hope that didn't show too much. My son says, you're just very tired. Well, I am a little bit. So, okay. But I did my best. I hope the program was valuable. The information is good and sound, that you will follow it, trust it, believe it, and it works by itself. Just, you don't have to study it, but just read about it and go, oh, I see that. Don't try to remember it. It's enough to see it and to enjoy the seeing of it just for a moment. And then there's another, and then there's another. And it goes on like that. You don't have to remember it. The words bring you to it, and then the words are not important anymore. You've got what the words are alive in you, but they're not words anymore. It's spirit. Thank you for listening. 866 Radio Roy.
You're listening to an encore presentation.
Hi, this is David Masters with a special message for everyone who is struggling with their issues. You don't have to struggle anymore. You can attend Roy Masters' Labor Day weekend seminar, and your life will be changed forever.
You're not born like animals, amoral. You're born into the world as moral beings, becoming immoral, but the sin passes to you because you're a little child, and you have got two stupid parents who don't know they're stupid, and they're fighting each other like dogs and cats. It doesn't matter which one wins. One becomes the beast, and one becomes the beast's servant. Or they become two beasts or two wimps. You're a slave of your own parents, trying to save your family, but you can't save them because you spend your whole life trying to save people who don't want to be saved, because they're the ones that screwed you.
That's the Labor Day Weekend Seminar, September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. To reserve, call 800-877-3227. That's 800-877-3227. Additional information is available at FHU.com. That's FHU.com.
Quote, the exercise described in Coping Strategy CD, 300,000 used by the military and Be Still and Know for civilians by Roy Masters, proved highly effective treatment for the entire spectrum of psychiatric disorders. George Hayter, MD, Chief of Psychiatry and Neurology, Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy, retired. Quote, I didn't give a damn whether I could prove it worked medically because I know it works. Besides, it's so much better than what the soldiers are getting now, which is nothing. Major General George R. Harris, U.S. Army, retired. Quote, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army, Southern Baptist Chaplain, the Be Still and Know calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. So go to Google and search for Roy Masters' books, How Your Mind Will Make You Well, and Be Still and Know, and listen also to Advice Line Radio on Ustream.tv. Thank you.